Lord, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercy that endures forever and ever and ever. Lord, we know it's not enticing words of man's wisdom, but it's through demonstrations of your spirit, your power and anointing that changes people's lives. And Father, tonight I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God, administer with the ability only which you can give. And Father, we're careful to give you the honor, the glory for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. It's good to be here with you. But you know, you got to know that I love you because it was almost 80 degrees. Then come up here and it's sleeting and snowing. I think there's some kind of conspiracy going on here. I don't. The enemy is not going to win, I can tell you that. He is not going to win. God is on our side. Back at our meeting in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, which is right outside of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, the Spirit of God came upon me in one of the services there, and I began to prophesy about things that would take place in the nations and the nation and in Christians' life, in churches. And then, of course, right after that, that's when the shaking, the Lord said there'd be a shaking, and that would take place. And then right after that, you know, Israel was attacked. And then in our nation, you know, they overthrew the Republican Party and removed the Speaker of the House of Representatives. And so there was a big stop in our government for a time. But, you know, it didn't surprise us. God knew what's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah, that's right.
And I can tell you what's going on, you know, and in the spirit. What we're doing in the church and what's going on in the world, for all that want to do it, we're moving to a new level.
Yes,
now, I'm not just talking about a message that somebody preached or a special title somebody come up for a meeting. I'm talking about what the Holy Ghost is saying.
Yes,
so the reason there's so much opposition against individuals now, against churches now, against nations now, against governments now, too, is because there's a shaking going on in the realm of the Spirit.
Yes.
And one thing that's happened that the Lord showed me is that the church has basically, not everybody, but the church has outran its prayer life.
Wow.
We can't live off of yesterday's prayers anymore because we've used them up. And we're trying to obtain places and move to places in the Spirit that we have not prayed out first. In order to walk something out, you must pray it out. So that's the reason there's shakings going on in the world. There's things going on now. You're moving to a new level, right? You're moving into some areas. And the enemy don't want you to move into new areas. He don't want you to do things. He don't want you to go forward in God. He wants you to digress. He wants you to back up. He wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. I've faced that opposition over the years. I've been there where it seemed like the devil was winning and I was losing. But I'm here to tell you, God is still on our side and He is with us. He'll lead us and guide us and He will supernaturally provide.
Amen.
Now I'm going to share with you something that the Spirit of God said to me during a time of prayer recently. I'm going to share with you this, 3 responsibilities of the Christian in their daily life. Because this is where the church as a whole, this Lord gave me this message supernaturally. The church as a whole, you know, has been missing it in this area. But this is something that the Lord said to me. It says, many are trying to help others when they are not in the spiritual condition to do so. If you do not take care of your spiritual life, you will be ineffective in helping someone else. It is honorable to help others, but you must take care of yourself also. If you don't take care of your walk in God and don't take your position in God and don't walk with God like you should and take care of your spiritual life, you're not going to help too many other people. And the Lord said this at the same time that He was talking to me and told me about the shaking that was going on that would take place in the world. And of course, the church will be shaken too. It's going to come down to the church. He's going to shake some things out and shake some things loose because there are things out of God's divine order and He's going to set them in place. That's what he's going to do. But what happened in the church, like I said, most of the church world has outrun their prayer life because life is designed to be so busy that you don't have time to pray, that you don't have time to seek God. But really, at this time, the way to look at it is this: the best thing you could do and the greatest thing you could do is take time to seek God and take time to pray, because that is the vehicle that's going to put you over in your life. But there's three things that every Christian, the Lord gave me this, like I said, supernaturally, and told me that you tell the people this. Three things that you need to do in your life. And they're simple, basic truths, but three things that people are leaving behind in their own personal walk with God. And they need to pick this up and they need to put them into work in their life. So if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And if you won't, do it anyway. I said if you will, but if you won't, do it anyway. Now this message seems basic, but it's powerful, because it'll put you over in your life. The first thing that the believer, the Christian, needs to do in their life is good and honorable, like I said, to help others. Put others ahead of ourselves. Pray for others. But if you haven't taken care of your own spiritual walk, how you doing? I'm going to keep an eye on you. But if you don't take care of your own spiritual walk with God, you're going to be ineffective at helping others. And many are not prepared for things that come their way because they don't stay in the spirit like they should, and the enemy takes advantage of them. It's easier to keep something off of you initially than to let things pile in on you and then try to dig your way out from under it. So a constant, consistent walk with God will put you over every single time, and you will not fail and you cannot fail. The first thing that we should do, number one, in this that the Lord showed me, the first thing is, number one, you must, as a Christian, exercise your faith daily. Exercise your faith daily. That is a requirement.
Yes, it is.
For you and for me.
Amen.
If you want something to happen in your life, it doesn't happen just because you hope it's going to happen. It doesn't happen just because you desire for it to happen. It doesn't happen just because you want it to happen. It happens because you set your faith and believe God for it and call it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. So every day of your life, you need to be exercising your faith. Hebrews chapter 11, one of your favorite verses, whether you knew it or not. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, but verse number 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please him, please God. So what I did is I got a big heavenly dictionary and I looked up this word, impossible. And I got the real Hebrew, homebrew, all the kind of brews, meanings of this thing. I got the Greek meaning and everything. The word impossible means not possible. It's not possible. It is not possible. It is not possible. It is not possible to please God without faith. So you want to please God. People want to know how they please God. It pleases God for you to exercise your faith and believe him in the face of contradictory circumstances. When it looks like that it's not working, you stand on the word of God and it'll put you over every single time.
Amen.
Now turn to Mark chapter 11. Because there's a way when we say that you have to exercise your faith daily, and we do. This is just three simple truths that the Lord is speaking to the church world as a whole. Said, Brother Randy, could a message this simple be prophetic? Absolutely. Excuse me. When it's given by the Holy Ghost, yes it is.
Yes, sir.
And God supernaturally gave me this message and told me to preach it
Amen.
To you. He said here, the number one way that you release your faith is through the words that you say or pray. The number one way that you exercise your faith and release your faith is through the words that you say or pray. The number one way you release your faith is through the words that you say or pray. Because when you're praying it, you're saying it too, right? So you got to speak words from your mouth, because in Mark chapter 11, verse number 23, the Bible says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say," the word "say" is in this verse three times, the word "believes" in this verse one time, "that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So I looked up the word "say" on that heavenly dictionary, through the Greek, the Hebrew, all those kinds of things. I looked it up. And the word "say" means speak words from your mouth. So on a daily basis, you need to be speaking out of your mouth what you want to see take place in your life. In your business, in your children's life, whatever it may be, in your ministry, in your church, whatever direction you're going, you've got to speak words from your mouth. Because when you speak those words from your mouth of faith, it's going to put you over every single time. But the first thing that you've got to do, if you're going to please God and walk with God and be successful as a Christian, is you must exercise your faith daily. Y'all remember Mr. Camber? Y'all remember him, Mr. Camber? Down in Texas. Y'all remember him? Remember, that was that man that had that house, Brother Hagin, it was going to move from one city to another. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
And Brother Hagin was going to move down there. And so he was preaching at this church and told this pastor that, you know, and they were friends with the pastor. And the pastor said, yeah, you're going to move on down here. Yeah, that was good friends, you know. Mom and Dad, good one. But anyway, he said, yeah, you're going to move down. He said, now, wait a minute. He said, I didn't say I was going to move. He said, I'm thinking about moving down here. You know, Brother Hagin used to think about things for 3 years or four. You know what I mean? Not Reverend Craig. But anyway, we think about it later, what we going to do. We ain't got time to do no thinking about it later. We going to get it done. We're doers, not thinkers. But anyway, so this pastor said, well, he said, we're going to get you a house down here. He said, now, wait a minute. He said, I didn't say that I was going to move down here. He said, I'm thinking about it. He said, yeah, you're going to move down here. She said, come on down here. He said, there's a fellow here that's building him a house that's in my church. And he said, he's going to be moving out of that house. And he said, I know that he's going to want to sell it or something. And he said, no, I didn't say I wanted to buy no house down there. He said, well, come on. He didn't listen to Brother Hagin, you know. He just went on, walked down the road. He wasn't far from where he lived, the pastor lived, that they were staying with him, and down the road to where this other fellow was. And he went down to the guy's house, and he said, yeah. He said, I'm going to sell it. He went to his church. He said, yes. He said, Brother Hagin, I'd like for you to have this house. In fact, I told some folks that wanted to buy it, you know, that I would even finance it for them. He said, I'll finance it for you, too. He said, if you want me to. He said, and I told him I'd do it for this much. He said, but I'll do it for you for less, because I just appreciate you and appreciate your ministry. He said, Brother Hagin, said, now, wait a minute. I didn't say I was going to move down here. What are you doing up here?
Visiting.
She's visiting. Keep an eye on her, too. But anyway. Said, I didn't say I was going to move down here. I'm just thinking about it. Remember, he's going to think about it about 3 years. But not dead good one. He's going to get him moving, you know, get something happening here. So he went there and they got to talking about it and everything. And he said, well, I'll tell you, he said, Reverend Hagin, he said, I'll finance this. He said, lower than you could get an interest rate out yonder somewhere. And he said, I'll let all the furniture in the house go with it too. He said, because I built a brand new house. And he said, I bought brand new furniture. And me and my wife's going to be moving in it. And he said, they're going to be moving it. Well, actually, they was moving that day. That's when they was doing it. It was moving out that day when they was down there. And Brother Hagin said, now, wait a minute. He said, I didn't say that I was going to move down here. He said, I'm just thinking about it. And so they got to showing them the house and all that stuff. You know, Mom Hagin, Dad Hagin, and the other preachers, you know, they're going through the house and showing them things. And And he got to thinking about it. And the man said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll finance this house for you. He said, if you'll just give me $1,000 down, he said, I'll finance it. And it'd be just a low payment. In fact, he could buy the house for less money than he could rent one for. And he said, I'll do this. I'm still talking about faith. I hadn't lost myself. You just hang on. I done drug you to Texas. It's warmer down there, by the way. There's no sleet and snow falling down there and ice in the driveway, you know. And so I done drug you down to Texas. And so he got in there and got to looking. And so he got to thinking about it. And he said, yeah. And they looked around there a few minutes. He got to thinking to himself. And that anointing of Reverend Craig came on him, you know. And before he realized what he was doing, he told that fella. He said, okay. He said, I'll do it. He said, good, Brother Hagin. He said, now. He said, Brother Hagin said, I'll have that $1,000 for you in 10 days. And Brother Hagin said, oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Why did I tell him that? $10,000. I mean, that was a lot of money way back yonder. Lots and lots of money, you know. And so he said, I'll have that $1,000 for you in 10 days. He said, yeah, that'll be fine. No problem. So he went on trying to show him things through the house. And Mom Hagin was going with him and the other preachers and the preacher's wives, you know, going through him, showing him different things about the house. He said, I couldn't even think about nothing. He said, my head was a spinning. He said, I just walked back through the house staggering, you know, and my eyes rolling around in my head. This is where he was telling the story. Eyes rolling around in my head wondering, what in the world have I done? Where am I going to get $1,000? I don't have $1,000. Where's it going to come from? But he knew that he got off of a deathbed as a young boy at 16 years old by speaking words from his mouth. And that came back from him that he had to exercise his faith. Even though he didn't have $1,000, he wasn't going to get $1,000 unless he started doing something. He had to exercise his faith right then in order for it to happen. Just because you want something doesn't mean it's going to happen. Just because you desire something doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's going to happen when you exercise your faith and believe God for it. So he walked outside. He finally, he said, stumbled out, stumbled on the porch, stumbled down the steps. He was standing around outside, just staggering around. And they're still in the back of the house looking at this and hooing and ahhing over that. And all that. He said, I couldn't look at the house. He said, I was trying to think of where in the world am I going to get $1,000? Oh, my God. Why did I tell him I'm going to come up with $1,000 in 10 days? Where am I going to get $1,000? But he said, I realized. That the only way I'm going to get it is to say it. Because the number one way you release your faith out of your mouth is to speak words. Speak words. Speak words. Every day you need to speak words over your life. Every day you need to speak words over your children, over your family, over your wife. You need to speak words over your business, over your ministry, over your church. Speak words.
Yes, sir.
Every day you need to exercise your faith. And the body of Christ, let me tell you what the Lord said, has been slack to almost kneel in doing this. We know what we need to do, but we're not doing it. We're not practicing it like we should. And he would just said, you get out there and tell them. He said, Lord, it's too simple. He said, but it's what I'm saying. Do you want to know what the Lord's saying? That's what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
So finally they come back. You know, from in the back of the house, and Brother Hagin then staggered back, you know, and tried to come to his senses, and the fella come out on the porch, you know, that he's going to finance house for him. So he looked up at him. He said, I'll have that $1,000 for you in 10 days. He said, my head told me, you are lying. You are lying. You are lying. You are lying. But he said, I knew that you could have what you say, and I knew the number one way to release my faith was speaking words from my mouth. Because I got up off of a deathbed at 16 years old. They told me I would never live beyond 16. But I got up and I was totally healed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet by speaking words from my mouth. So he said they walked around there a little bit, you know, and started looking at things and all that. And he turned back and he said to the fella again, he said, I'm going to have that $1,000 for you in 10 days. He said, okay, Brother Hagin, I believe you. I believe you. Brother Hagin said, I wasn't saying it for his benefit. I said it for my benefit. He said, because I was talking faith. I was walking faith. I was speaking faith because I knew if it was going to come to me, I had to call for it. You got to speak it. You got to say it for it to happen in your life. So they looked around some more, you know, and went around the side of the house, you know, and he went, got that fellow again, got close to him. He said, I want to let you know. He said, I'll have that $1,000 for you in 10 days. And the fellow said, yeah, I agree with Brother Hagin and everything. And Brother Hagin said, my head was lying. You're a liar. You are a liar. You done gone to lying now, and you're a preacher. Everybody's going to know you're lying. So finally they got through looking, you know, and they went to walking back up the sidewalk or the street there, you know, back towards the other preacher's house where he lived, because it wasn't that far. And he just decided, well, I better tell him again. He was still standing on the porch, the man was. He walked back a little bit and said, hey, brother. He said, I'll have that $1,000 for you in 10 days. He said, oh, Brother Hagin, I believe it. He had the man of believing it, whether Brother Hagin believes it or not. You can have a heart full of faith and a head full of doubt. Brother Hagin said, my head was doubting. He said, but I had faith in my heart. Because I knew I could have what I say. Just because you got thoughts of doubt in your mind don't mean you're doubting. Don't speak it from your mouth. Don't speak it from your mouth. Don't say it, Pastor Craig. Don't say it. Don't say it. We're not going to say it. We're going to say what the Word says, and we're going to stand on the Word. Said, what happens if it don't work? We're going under with the Word. My God. But the Word is not going to fail, and you're not going under. You're going to feel like it. You may look like it. It may seem like it, but you're not going under. Amen. Woo! So Brother Hagin and them got back to the house, you know, and he'd done said that and everything. He'd tell that to Brother Goodwin, you know. He'd tell him, too. He said, I'll have that $1,000 for him in 10 days. And they were sitting around there talking, you know, a day or so later. And all of a sudden, the phone rang at Mr. Goodwin's house, the Pastor Goodwin. His good friends, you know. And he said, oh, yes, he's here. Yeah, he's sitting right here. He said, Brother Hagin, this is Sister so-and-so. And both of them knew who she was. And he said, she wants to talk to you. And he said, okay. So he got over there, and Brother Hagin said, hello. He said, Brother Hagin, she said, you know, I'm new at this stuff. She said, nah, you know, I ain't been filled with the Holy Ghost for about 2 months. You know, I got filled with the Spirit in your ministry, you know, here in this area. And he said, but I just kept having this sense here for the last little while that I needed to give you $1,000. And Brother Hagin said, I don't doubt it, sister. Bring it on over. I don't doubt it, sister. Bring it on over. But I want to ask you this question. What if Brother Hagin hadn't have said it? That lady wouldn't have picked it up.
That's good.
Hey, I had a board member of mine back years ago. That's not real, real long, but a good while back. That died, that called me on his spirit, in the spirit on his deathbed. And I heard it. I was in Alabama and he was in South Carolina. He called for me. In the spirit. And I picked it up. And I went to him. He was in Charleston, South Carolina. I was way over in Alabama preaching in a meeting. If you walk in the spirit, God can reveal to you and show you a lot of things. You know what I mean? And he'll show others a lot of things. But Brother Hagin exercised his faith. How? By speaking words from his mouth. That lady told him that she had never done anything right like that. She said, I don't know if I'm missing it or what. She said, if I'm missing it, just tell me. You don't never tell nobody you're missing it when they're giving you $100,000. I can tell you that now. Oh, you heard from God, sister. I mean, sister, you heard from God. I know you have. You know, whether I have or not, you did. My God, you heard from God. Many know what to do, but many are failing to do what they know they should be doing. And I'm not talking about getting into a religious rut. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about every day of your life, whatever time of the day you start, whatever shift you come off of, whatever it is, when you get up and you start your thing with God and you start beginning to seek God, the first thing you should do is praise Him. That is, praise Him and thank Him. Your Lord got on to me about that one time. And I'm not going to that whole story, but one time He told me, because it's like this heaven had shut its doors on me. And this is way back years ago when I first started the ministry. And I'd go ask the Lord for what to do and what to say. And He'd tell me, you know, And then I'd go and preach it, you know, under the anointing, praise God. One day I went and asked him, and he didn't say nothing. It was cold and dreary in the spirit realm, you know. And I said, Lord, what is it? He said, you know, he said, every time you come to me, he said, you come asking me for something. He don't mind that. He said, but you know, you never thank me for what I've already done for you. He said, you never show appreciation. And I realized he was right. I was always asking him. So I just repented right there, and I had remorse inside of me. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, well, I forgive you. He said, I just want you to grow up a little bit. And he said, when you come to me, he said, just don't come asking. Come praising me and worshiping me and glorifying me. So start your day off that way. So every day, you need to exercise your faith. You need to speak words from your mouth. What is it that you need to have in your life that you don't have right now? What is it that you want to see come to pass in your life that you don't have right now? Now, I don't want you to overload yourself. So there's an old saying in the country where I'm from, don't worry about the mule, honey. Just load the wagon. You ever heard that expression up here? In other words, just whatever you put on it, the mule can pull it. Listen, you can break that doggone mule's back. So some folks need so many things, they overload the wagon and break it down. What you need to do in your spiritual walk with God is break it out in bite-sized pieces. Start with the number one priority in that area. I'm not saying you couldn't add something to it, but many people have got so many what they call irons in the fire. That's country talk for city folks. You know, they used to set the old iron that the iron went up by the fireplace and get it hot. Did y'all know that? My granny had dirt floors. Pearl Ann, Nancy Jane, Emmeline, Carter Greer. I remember as a little baby playing on that floor, dirt floor in Georgia. I mean, this is back years ago. She'd get rid of the iron, she'd have a log fire up there, and she'd set that iron up there and get that thing hot. So, get too many irons in the fire. Work on areas of your life that has top priority. You know what I mean? And these things, when you begin to exercise your faith, things will begin to happen pretty quick. Because God is going to answer your prayers. He's going to respond to your faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Impossible means what? What does it mean? Not possible. It's not possible. God will respond to your faith.
Yes, sir.
He don't respond to wishes. He don't respond to dreams. He don't respond to hopes, even though all those things may have their place. He responds to faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. In fact, there's some things that I believe that I see about faith that I don't share. And the reason I don't, it's because I don't want to confuse nobody. I might confuse myself too. I believe I see some things about faith. But sometimes you hesitate to share them because it could be misunderstood. But God gave you faith to use. And if you'll use that faith and exercise that faith on a daily basis, you're going to stop a lot of things that's coming your way. And God will work in your life in a supernatural way. So Brother Hagin got that $1,000 from that lady. She brought it right over there that day, right? She wasn't far away from him. Brought it right over and gave him $1,000. You know how he got it? She gave him 10 $100 bills. 10 $100 bills. She put it in his hand. He hadn't seen that much money legally in years. It was amazing. But it came to pass. And that's the house that they bought. Remember that house?
Yes.
That's the house that they bought. And then Mom Hagin, his wife, Miss Aretha Hagin, came to him, said, honey, said, we need some drapes on these windows, you know. You know how we hang the sheets up and put the newspaper on and whatever we do, you know, all that. She said, we need some drapes. And so she came to Dad Hagin and said, honey, she said, we need to believe God for some drapes. And he said to her, he said, honey, he said, you can't hang those drapes on my faith. He said, it's all I can do to believe God to pay for this house. He wasn't demeaning himself. He was using the priority. He knew where he was at. You know, you can start with a penny. In fact, you ought to start with a penny instead of trying to believe God for a million. You won't never get to a million until you believe him for a penny or $5 or something. A lot of people want to believe for something big up there. But anyway, he told her. Said, you're going to have to believe God for that. He said, I'm believing all I can. Well, anyway, she got after it and she believed God and she got her drapes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's how it worked. You remember the story, how he told the story. Yes. But what were they doing? They were exercising their faith. So whatever area of your life that you want to see God move in, then it takes your faith in order for that to happen. God is not going to exercise your faith for you. Faith. What is faith? Faith is believing that you have something that is not yet manifested in the physical world. Faith is believing that you have something right now that is not yet manifested in the physical world. Faith is believing that you have something right now that has not yet been manifested in the physical world. Does it exist? Yes, in the realm of the spirit. But the way you bring it out of that realm into this realm is through the vehicle and avenue of faith. Thank God for it. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Praise God for it. God is good. And his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. So the number one way that you release your faith is how? Through speaking words from your mouth. Whether it's through praying them or saying them. Both of them, you're speaking words from your mouth. So that's the first thing that the church has been lacking, sadly lacking in, especially in our camp, faith camp. You know what I mean? Word and spirit camp, we call it. Yeah. People know what to do, but sometimes we have a tendency to let things drop, and then we wonder why things come our way.
Right.
We can hold them off. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Thank God for it.
Amen.
Then the second thing, they're simple. You ready for this? Number two, the simplest thing, said every day you need to be conscious of the leading of the Spirit of God. Every day of your life, you need to be conscious of the leading of the Spirit of God. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse number 14 is a verse that you know. And it says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So every day of your life, you need to be conscious of the leading of the Spirit of God in your life. And that don't mean that you've got to be way out yonder and lost your mind or nothing. But I'll tell you, that's how I live my life. Sometimes people kind of get, you know, perturbed with me because I don't make a decision or I don't do something. The reason I don't do it because I don't have an unction to do it. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. That unction, I've made so many mistakes by not following that intuition, that inward witness over the years back yonder, that I've learned just to just wait on God, because when the time comes, it'll work. When the time comes, I'm not saying opposition won't come. But it'll work. Amen. Things will work out. I may have to fight 45 devils or 450,000 devils, but it's going to work.
Yes.
You're going to come out on the other side supernaturally, and thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
Praying, you want to know how to get sensitive to the Spirit of God every day? Praying in other tongues is the number one way to become sensitive to His Spirit and to know His leading. Praying in other tongues is the number one way to become sensitive to His Spirit and to know His leading.
That's right.
Dad Hagin said this. He said, most all the leadings He received came after extended times of praying in other tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 2. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. What are the mysteries? They're not a mystery to God. They're a mystery to me. God knows everything. And God wants to reveal those mysteries to me. And the way I become conscious of those things, of what God wants me to know, is by praying in other tongues. So every day you need to be praying in the spirit, in other tongues. Disconnecting. I mean, you pray with your knowledge. You pray for your own understanding. But also you pray in other tongues. You pray what we call praying in the spirit, because you can pray in the spirit in English, you know. But I'm talking about praying in other tongues. It makes you consciously aware of the Spirit of God that's within you. It makes you aware of Him. Amen. And you can yield to Him and lead Him. And He'll lead you and He'll guide you and He'll direct your paths. He'll show you exactly what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Amen. Just like when I was standing out behind that prison, April the 5th, 1984. I'd been fasting and praying over a period of time, just seeking God, praying out the will of God, praying out the plan of God. And suddenly, and I thought basically I was getting nowhere, but I just kept pressing into it. And I wasn't seeking God for any kind of special, event to happen in my life. I was just seeking God because I was hungry for Him. And so April the 5th, 1984, approximately 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, suddenly it seemed to be, and of course, spiritually speaking, this is what happened to me. It's like heaven opened over me. And it's like somebody just dumped a bucket of anointing on top of me. And He said, I've anointed you today to begin to enter into the ministry that I've called you to. I've anointed you today to begin to enter into the ministry that I called you to. And that didn't mean that I would finish it that day, but I would start that day. And I did. That's the first time, that day was the first day that I ever cast out a devil in my life. And God began to show me things. And I began to pray. I began to seek God. God began to show me things to do. And as I was praying and seeking God, walk in that prison yard, just back and forth. You could say I had time on my side. And I was redeeming the time. Because that's the scripture that kept coming to me. Don't waste the time. Redeem the time. Well, take advantage of this time that you have. And so I started praying in other tongues. And as I began to pray in other tongues, I began to see into the future. I began to see things. God began to show me things. I seen myself sitting on a platform. I seen myself preaching to thousands and thousands of people. I seen that happening. But here I am locked in a cage because I got myself there like an animal. I put myself there for disobeying the laws of the land. First of all, disobeying God. But everything that I saw has come to pass, except some things, and they will come to pass as we get to that point. But everything is coming to pass. And I remember I was walking behind Dad Hagin because I saw myself with him. I saw myself, God supernaturally giving me favor with him, but I saw it years before it ever happened. What I say by years, 3.5 to 4 years before it ever happened. But when I went to Rhema, he didn't know me or anything. As far as a person, you know, I went to school there, went to Bible school at Rhema Bible Training Center. But I remember I became an usher, and then they had me share my testimony at Rhema Bible Church in 1985, 1986, to share my testimony. It was supposed to be a 10-minute testimony, and it turned out to be the longest service in the history of Rhema Bible Church. It did. I've got the record. But they told me not to stop when I got started. They told me not to stop because the anointing came and it was just God orchestrated. But I saw that. I saw that 3.5 to 4 years earlier, being led by His Spirit. And so I want to share something with you. The reason I shared that is this. Some of you have seen things in the Spirit and they have not yet come to pass. Don't be discouraged. And sometimes, I'll tell you, if you try to make something happen, you can really muddy the water, so to speak. I didn't make any of those things happen. I had no idea. In fact, the way I was given the opportunity to share my testimony at Rhema Bible Church on a Sunday afternoon about 3 o'clock, it was our first year anniversary of Rhema Bible Church. It just started in 1985, in October of 85. In fact, they just had their 38th anniversary there for Rhema Bible Church because it started in October of 1985. I went there. in that service where they had the 38th anniversary. I was in that service, and they was having a big shindig that night, you know. And that was just recently. But anyway, and that service, that way I got into that 3 o'clock in the afternoon service, I was standing out by the outside the recreation yard, and the ushers, I was an usher, the ushers were playing the pastors, the assistant pastors in softball, just a fun game, you know. And they had dinners on the grounds. That don't mean they put it on the ground and ate it, you know. There was dinner somewhere on the churchyard, you know, had out there. And all of a sudden, Brothers. You remember Brothers? Brothers. His last name were Brothers. Brothers married Candy, I believe. Y'all remember Candy? It's Miss Pat Harrison's daughter. You know what I mean? Reverend Pat Harrison's daughter. He married her. And so that would make him Brother Hagin's grandson-in-law, whatever you call it, you know, because that was his granddaughter. So he walked up beside me. He was associate pastor. I said, Brother Andy. He talked real fast, you know, straight to the point. I said, yes, sir. He said, Pastor Hagin, I want you to share his testimony Sunday. I said, yes, sir. He said, there's going to be 8 of you. He said, you're going to have 10 minutes each. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll let you know the rest. I said, yes, sir. He was gone. So on that Sunday, they called in there. It was after we was going to have, we had, you know, service, and they had dinner and a few things they'd done. And then they come back in for 3 o'clock service, and then everybody was going home. So what happened is he called me up there, and they called us up on the platform, and my wife was there. She was praying more for the church than she was me, because she had been around me enough to know I didn't fit in this atmosphere. You know what I mean? And I was pretty wild, too, back in those days, you know. If you got one of my sermons from back then, you got about an hour and 20 minutes and 60. You know what I mean? You got a 60-minute tape, you had an hour and 20 minutes on it. Because, I mean, I would just, it just rolled out of me, you know. And so my wife said she was praying for me. She wasn't praying. I'm praying for them, not praying for me, you know. And, of course, I was very apprehensive, you know. And I'm sitting up there in the chairs because they told us all the ones that we'd talked to come up there. And there was 8 of us. Reverend Craig Hagin was one. So I'm sitting there. And I looked, and Reverend Tony Cook was sitting there, too. And he is one of my instructors. And he turned around. He said, you are going to be last. I said, yes, sir. And I thought, oh, Lord, what's going to happen? So anyway, everybody got up there and gave their sermon, you know. And then Pastor Hagin got up there and he said, well, Brother Randy, he said, come on. So I walked up there. And when I stepped on the carpet off the little, had a little loft up there, a little choir loft. When I stepped down the carpet of the platform, it hit me. Woo! I mean, it got me. It got me and I got it. I don't know what it was, but it hit me. You know, it was one of them Holy Ghost things. And I stepped down there, and the next thing you know, woo, we was away on off to the races, as you'd call it. And God began to move in that place. Brother Hagin's sitting on the front row. He's about to fall off the chair, you know. And Miss Hagin was sitting there, and Pastor Hagin, and I turned around. I said, oh, my Lord, I got 10 minutes. Pastor Hagin said, forget the time. Let's go. And then in that service, we was able to minister to people that actually were demon oppressed in that particular service. But I prayed that out, being led by the Spirit and being in the right place at the right time. There was a series of events that had to take place in order for me to be there. And then from that event, it's where Dad Hagin, I was walking behind him after this event, I don't know, a month or so later, and escorting him around the campus, you know, and opening and closing doors for him. And he had some friends with him. He's showing around, and suddenly he stopped in front of me, whirled around, pointed his finger at me. He said, you're going to be at camp meeting in 1987. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he said, the Lord wants you to speak there. He's got a purpose in it. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, what you going to be doing? I said, well, I'm going to be an usher captain, you know, because it's a big arena, you know, sit 10 to 14,000, according to how you packed them in there, you know. And that's where he would have his camp meeting. He said, you go ahead and do your job. And he said, when the time comes, I'll call you. And so I said, yes, sir. So I went just like I did. And then I remember it was a Wednesday afternoon. Brother Hagin was standing up there and he said, is Brother Randy Greer in the building? Because I hadn't talked to him since then, you know. And there, all the ushers knew. He said, yeah, there he is over there. And he said, come down here. And so I was sitting beside him. I went down, got up on the platform. And the only seat that was open for me to sit in, he'd motioned for me to sit beside him. He was sitting here. And I sat down to his right. He was on the end chair and I sat at his right. And I sat there and I got to looking at all those people. And I thought, this must be what I saw. This must be what I saw. Not the only thing, because I saw some other things. But I this must be what I saw. And I got to kind of teared up some, you know what I mean? Thinking about it. And I said, Lord, I said, how did I get here? I said, I'm the least likely suspect on the planet to be sitting here beside Brother Hagin at his camp meeting. He said, remember all those hours you thought you was wasting when you were praying and my spirit was leading you and guiding you and showing you what you were going to do and how it was going to come to pass? He said, you didn't know it, but all that time you was praying, things were working out in the spirit for you to be here. And from that day in 1987 until he moved from this planet in 2003, every single year, and sometimes several times a year, I'd be speaking in his meetings. A lot of times it'd be impromptu, but it was God doing something. And then he actually sat down and put his arm around me and talked to me for a while, because there was things that I had to receive. But those things, I believe, would have never come to pass unless I'd have begun to pray. And I'm not pinning roses on me. I've got a remembrance thing. But it's not pinning roses on me. I was just obeying what God said do. I'm here to tell you, you're not wasting your time praying in other tongues. When you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you're not speaking unto men, you're speaking unto God. If you don't understand what you're saying, that is biblical. And that's where people get discouraged. Because it said in 1 Corinthians 14, did I tell you to turn there? I did? Well, I'm better than I thought I was. Now, don't get the big head. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It said here, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who?
God.
Who are you speaking to?
God.
You're speaking to who?
God.
Well, if you don't understand it, why are you be concerned about it? You're talking to God. He knows everything. In fact, he's the one that gives you the unction, but you've got to do the speaking. Isn't that right? And so regardless if you understand it or not, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that you're missing it. It doesn't mean that you're wasting your time, because you're talking to God and he understands every single thing that you're saying in the spirit.
Amen.
So every day of your life, you need to be consciously aware of the Spirit of God leading you and guiding you and directing you. And the way you do that is by praying in other tongues. That is the vehicle that will get you there every day. And people are lacking, L-A-C-K-I-N-G, lacking in these areas of their life when it comes to spiritual things. Many people are wanting to help others, but they're not in a position to do so. And it's honorable to help others. But you've got to be in the spiritual condition that you can have something to give out. And if you don't have nothing to give out, you better hang on to what you got. In other words, you need to build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Isn't that right? So you ready for number three?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Every day of your life, number three, exercise your authority over evil spirits. Exercise your authority over evil spirits. Every day of your life. It says in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 19. Jesus said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Notice here that it, and Brother Hagin pointed this out before, the binding and loosening starts where? On the earth. In other words, it starts with you. It starts with me. Jesus Christ appeared to Dad Hagen in December of 1952 in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. That's in the southeast corner of the state. You're close to, you'd be close to Texas right there. And I think you'd be close to, what is that state next to it right there? Louisiana. You'd be close to that too. You'd be close to those states in those areas. But Jesus appeared to him at that time. And remember, there was a demon that ran between him and Jesus. You remember that? And that demon made a racket, and then it put up a smoke screen where Brother Hagin couldn't see Jesus, nor could he hear what Jesus was saying. And Jesus didn't do anything about the devil. Then finally, in frustration, Dad Hagin said to that demon, "I command you to stop and shut up in the name of Jesus." And that thing immediately stopped, fell, and hit the floor. And he said, "Now I command you to get out of here." And it got up and run off in the spirit. But the demon didn't do anything until Brother Hagin took authority over it in the name of Jesus. Then Jesus looked at him and told him. He said, "If you had not done that," in other words, commanded that spirit to go in my name, he said, "I could not have done it." He said, "I delegated my authority on the earth to the church." And he said, "They must take that authority and use it. And you have got to take authority over the devil." He said this. He said, nowhere in the New Testament, Jesus did, nowhere in the New Testament does it ever tell the believer to pray to me or God the Father or anyone else to do something about the devil for them, but it also always tells them to do something about the devil himself. And one of the scriptures was James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Who does that? You do that. I do that every day of our life. We've got to take authority over the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth and command him to loose and let go. Can I tell you my printer story?
Yes.
P-R-I-N-T-E-R. Yes. Printer story. Had this big printer. We used to have a printing press and all this, a Multilift 1250 printing press and all this stuff. And but we didn't come out of that and went into another one. It would print 11 by 17s. And all this kind of stuff, had folding machines and all, kind of like a printing company would have. And one day, we was printing the newsletter there in the office. And suddenly, I mean, this is one of them Holy Ghost anointed newsletters too. I mean, straight from heaven. And while that printer was running, this big old printer had never failed, never done anything wrong before, and all of a sudden, fire shot out of it. Whoosh. I said, "What in the world's going on?" Fire shot out of the printer. You know, the shaft broke on that thing. You know what I mean? Fire shot out of the printer. Well, if you didn't know any better, you'd think, well, God didn't want me to print a newsletter. Huh? Yeah, God didn't want me to print a newsletter. No, the doggone devil was there. So I knew them things cost a lot of money. I mean, it ain't something you just go and throw away and go get another one, not that particular kind. So I knew a shop there that could work on it. I took it down to the shop. They said, "Yeah, we can look at it. We don't know what it is, but we'll look at it. We're kind of backed up a little bit." So I left it down there, you know, a week and a half, and called them, said, "No, we hadn't got to it yet." Then I waited about another week, called them again. "No, we hadn't got to it yet." And then finally, it done got over to 3.5 weeks, and my newsletter's still sitting over there. You know, can't get it printed. So I decided I'm going down there. So I went down there and walked into the place, you know, and they come to the counter, you know. And they're very nice and cordial. "No, we just hadn't been able to get to it yet, you know, but we're going to get to it. Don't give up on us, you know, preacher. We're going to get to it." And so I got out of the printer's office, and I got in my car and started driving back home, you know, across Columbus, Georgia. That's where we lived then. And I was driving back across home, and all of a sudden it come to me. The Spirit of God. Said, "That's the devil that's stopping your printer." I said, "Do what?" He said, "That's the devil that attacked that printer and made it shoot fire." When Jesus hung on the cross, what happened? Rocks rent, bust wide open. He said, "The devil's done it." You know what I did? Immediately, when I recognized that's what it is, it was the arm of the devil trying to stop me from getting the gospel out. I said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to take your hands off my printer right now and loose it and let it go in Jesus' name."
Amen.
I barely got back to my office, got in there, phone rang, and there was a printer. Come and pick your printer up. We got it fixed. But it didn't happen till I bound the devil. It wasn't them people. It was a devil hanging on to my printer. It's probably a printer devil hanging on to it. You know what I mean? I don't know how they do it. I said, Brother Randy, you crazy. No, well, I'm telling you. Devils do stupid stuff. And I mean, I got it by revelation. That's the devil that's stopping this from happening. It's not God. God wants me to get this message out. He's the one that gave it to me. And immediately, when I took that authority in the name of Jesus, like I said, I hardly no longer got back to my office, which wasn't real far. I'd say less than 30 minutes. I was back to where I needed to be. Maybe 25. The phone rang, and they said, your printer's fixed. Come get it. I didn't have it for almost a month. And then all of a sudden, bang, it's fixed. And do you know that printer devil never come back? He didn't. That printer devil never did. There are things that will happen in your life and things that will come against you in your life. And I'll tell you what will happen. The devil will try to make you think that it's your fault, that it's your problem, that you brought it on yourself, that it's something you did and something you should have done and something you done over there. You just need to stand up and rebuke him in Jesus' name. Yes. Now, there's another side to that. You know immediately in your spirit, you know, if you missed it somewhere. You know in here. It's not going to come from out here. When the devil talks to you, it'll be from out here. It'll be thoughts shooting into your mind. But the Spirit of God will be inside of you. And I realized that that's what the devil's doing. And that's what happens in Christians' life. Christians don't realize today that one of the number one things you need to do, there's three of them, but one of them, the third one is, you need to exercise your authority over the devil daily. Daily. I'm not talking about going hunting no devils. When oppression, depression, thoughts come to you, negative things come to you, immediately you need to address it. You know, because the devil that ran between Jesus and Brother Hagin in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, in that pastor's kitchen, I didn't tell the whole story, but in that pastor's kitchen was a little devil. A little devil. That's what Brother Hagin said, was a little one. Say, little devil. Little devil. Let me tell you, little devils cause big problems if not dealt with. Yes. Little devils will cause big problems if not dealt with. You got to deal with them in the name of Jesus. And when you deal with them, you can stop them in the name of Jesus. If you've been believing God for something and you've been exercising your faith on something and it seemed like it's just been taking a while, it might be, just examine it, that you need to take authority of the devil trying to hinder what you're doing and believing God for. Because it's not God that's holding back anything that you're believing Him for. It's not God. Because He wants you to have it. He wants you to have everything His Word says. And it belongs to you in the name of Jesus. So what are the three things now? The first thing that we need to do every day in our daily life is exercise faith. In other words, use our faith. Just don't let it lie dormant. Now, one of the ways it'll help you to do that is by meditating on the Word. I believe this too, that a lot of times people pray too quick about things. They pray, Brother Charles Capps, you know, he's gone on now, Reverend Charles Capps, but he used to say it this way. He's a good country talk for city folks. He said, a lot of folks go whole hog when half ready. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. In other words, you need to prepare. So in your life, I believe in your daily routine, and I know it works wonderfully for me. If you just take time to meditate on the Word before you start believing and claiming and naming and casting devils out and doing all this, just feed your spirit with the Word of God. Meditate on the Word. Think deeply about it. Mutter the Word aloud to yourself. Worship the Lord. Build yourself up. And then go for it. Amen? So every day of your life, you need to, number one, exercise your faith. Then what was number two? Be led by the Spirit of God. Be conscious of the leading of the Spirit of God. It makes a difference, you know, where you're at today. You remember the shooting that took place down in the States here. Remember just recently, what was that? Was that in where? Maine. Yeah. Where this guy just went berserk, went in and shot those people. Was it a bowling alley or something? And then went to another place and shot some more people. You remember that? and killed all those people for no reason. See, that is demons.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to know that's demons that does things like that. It's not the gun. It's the man with the gun that's got a demon. Guns don't shoot nobody. You know what I mean? But that it was a demon that was working on his mind. In fact, by his own admission, for what they said, he admitted to people that he had talked to that he heard voices in his head. Where'd those voices come from? The devil. So, and I'm not belittling anybody there. And you know, thank God that you know, that people will heal from all of that if they ever can. You know, losing children and everything else, it'd be a horrendous thing. But that's why it's important for us to be led by the Spirit of God. If you have an unction, an intuition not to do something, don't do it.
Amen.
Or don't go a certain way, don't go it.
Amen.
I'm not talking about being kooky. I'm just talking about listening.
That's right, sir.
That's right.
And every day, if you're just, you just have an agreement with the Lord, Lord, if I need to do something, let me know. If I need to go a different way, I'll do it, Lord. Whatever, just show me, you know. And God will be with you and he'll show you. So you'll be led by the Spirit. And number three, what was it? Exercise your authority over evil spirits daily. That don't mean you have to go around binding devils 24 hours a day. It just means to be conscious of how the enemy works. There is an enemy out here that doesn't want you nor I to fulfill the plan of God or have the blessings of God take place in our life. But when we do these three simple truths and practice them on a consistent basis, you're going to become a stalwart Christian. You will. And you'll begin to receive. If you'll just practice it on a daily basis, just begin to put them into practice in your life. Exercise your faith. Be led by the Spirit of God. Take authority over any evil spirit that comes your way. And I'll guarantee you, you're going to walk in victory, and there's nothing the devil can do to stop it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Victory is already yours and it's already mine, but I have got to walk it out in my life.
Amen.
I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. We praise your holy name. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your mercy that endures forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're moving us into that new level, Father. You're taking us into those places that we need to go in. And nothing's going to stop us. So let's do this. I just had it in my heart to do this. Let's close the service with a confession. Does that sound good to you? Because you've been had hands laid on you so much, some of your hairs about fell out. You know what I mean? And, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but laying on of hands is not a fix-all.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And it's part of it.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, when you get it inside of you, yourself,
amen,
you know, you can find out that God will do it for you.
Yes.
He'll help you.
Amen.
Just close your eyes and just let your heart agree with it. Say,
Dear Heavenly Father,
thank you
for your holy written word.
That's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank you for these simple truths
that are very powerful.
Thank you for reminding me
to practice this
in my daily life.
So I purpose
to exercise my faith,
to be led by the Spirit of God,
and take authority over evil spirits
in your name.
And as I do this,
I thank you
for your power
that's working in my behalf.
And I thank you
that you're leading me
into victory
in every area of my life.
And I'll give you the glory,
honor and praise for it all.
In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's thank him for it. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We glorify you for it. We magnify you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is so good, and his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. God is so very good. Hallelujah. Well, I preach myself happy. You may be seated. I'm going to turn it to our pastor. Let him preach a while.
Oh, Jesus, help us. How did you say it, sir? People, what did Charles Capp say? They go whole hog when they're half ready. Releasing our faith. You can do that yourself every day. Amen. For your health, for your protection. You know, when you drive, you don't need to be afraid. Release your faith. Lord, thank you for that. I'm safe on these roads. I need a promotion. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you for that promotion. I thank you it's coming. Thank you for favor with my boss. You're believing for a transfer. You're believing for a new job. Lord, I thank you for that. So that's releasing your faith. And you can't do that properly if you're not in the Word, because that's where faith comes from. Walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, number two, and praying in the Spirit, worshiping God. And using our authority. I'm telling you, you say, well, I've heard this before. I have too. But I'm telling you, God is emphasizing. Pastor Nancy said to me recently, she said, God's been dealing with a number of ministers that she's been talking to, higher ministers, that God's been emphasizing to multiple people, reaffirm the basics. Repeat the basics. Teach the basics. And I think it's exactly because of what Brother Randy just said. People are so busy and they're running so fast and they're just not doing the most basic things, and then they're getting off on all these other things, and there's nothing wrong with those other areas of the Christian walk, but the basics is what keeps us strong, and that's what keeps things going in your life. It really is important. Don't ever let the basics, what boxers call the fundamentals. Do you notice that you have to deal with fundamentals? If you're ever going to be a great athlete, you have to have fundamentals in place. And they always work on the fundamentals, even when they're professionals. When they're in training, they work on fundamentals. So Brother Randy, as our trainer tonight, has given us some fundamentals that I know, unless you're a visitor tonight or a brand new member of our church, you've heard these things before, but the Holy Ghost is emphasizing them, and he's been emphasizing them to me in my personal life as well, so I'm so grateful, and we need to do this. Amen? Now listen, if you can't be a doer of the word with fundamentals, you're not going to be a doer of the word with anything. So when you, now did you notice, no, I didn't write any notes this evening, because I'm going to listen to this again and write down some more details. That's what I do. I listen to the message a second time, but in the service, I want to be just receiving what the impartation, not just, you know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with writing notes in the sermon. I'm just saying I wanted to get that impartation from him tonight, but I'll be listening to it again. But I memorize stuff as he's talking. And so if you're going to be a doer of this, the first thing tomorrow morning when you wake up, quiz yourself. What's number one? Release my faith today. Okay, well, how do I do that? Well, why don't I get up a little bit earlier and read the word a little bit? And what am I believing for? Because what you're believing for, Tyrone, is going to be different to what Gary's believing for, but we're still believing for things. How do I, look, I got to speak that. I got to talk to God about that in prayer and in my confession, and you start to do that. Well, what's the other thing? Oh, right. Being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Okay, well, that includes praying in the Holy Ghost. That includes worship, spending time in prayer. So tomorrow morning, you should be thinking, am I doing that? You see, I don't just want you to hear the sermon. I want you to practice the sermon. And the only way to practice it is if you remember what was said. You know part of the problem with church? It's not a problem. There's no problem with church. But I'm saying you are hearing so much every week, all the time, it can start to kind of get muddled in your mind, which is why the basic fundamentals are so important. And you can't look at notes. You have to have memorized it. You have to automatically know, okay, the most important thing today is I need to spend time in the Word, release my faith. I need to spend time worshiping and praying and being led by the Spirit. And I need to use my authority today. And so, Lord, I take authority. And don't get weird with that, but I'm saying the Holy Ghost will lead you. But when you're facing situations, you know, you need to deal with that. If you're facing things, you know, there's not, I love Dr. Summerall. he would say, there's not a devil behind every bush. You know, people say, oh, there's a devil behind every bush. There's not a devil behind every bush. But he said, there's a devil behind every other bush. Do you see what he's saying? He said, a lot more is demonic than people give credit for. And that, he said that 50 years ago. Can you imagine today with the unleashing that's happening today? So these are fundamentals. Wake up tomorrow morning and think word, faith, praying in the spirit, being led, and my dominion and authority, and start to live it. These are fundamentals. Brother Greer, thank you so, so much for helping us tonight.